I'm 65 years old. Today is April 15th, 2021, and I'm in the United States. My partner is Chandra Wowo-Runtu, and we work together in combating human trafficking and have become friends over the years.
Hi, my name is Chandra Wowo-Runtu. I am 44 years old. Today is Thursday, April 15, 2021, and I'm based in New York, USA. My recording partner is Katie Ford. She is an amazing woman. She is my mentor and she is my friend.
So Chandra.
Yes, Katie.
We started working together many years ago, but when we first met, we didn't even know what we were going to do together and never really anticipated, I think, this long relationship that we've had. What were you thinking when we met?
Oh, back as a survivor of human trafficking, we are losing trust, and you know, I always have a boundary with people. But at that time, I also didn't expect that we came so far until now. The first beginning, I spoke with you, it was October 16, 2013, when we together at the event, Be the Voice in New York City. I see, who is she? She's just calm. You're sitting and calm. And it was just drag me to get to know you. And then it was lucky because you gave me your card. And we continue our meeting, our friendship, and just amazing. And finally, we were able to work together. And we accomplished a lot together.
You know, it does feel like that since 2013, but we've come a long way. And I found your story so compelling. And there are many aspects of it which I could not have imagined previously. And I already knew about human trafficking. I was working in the field. But your story, just there's one step after the other, and your resilience and your ability to make things happen is so touching to me and frankly amazing. Maybe we could start with you telling people where you're from, what your life was like when you were younger.
So you brought me to my memory when I was childhood. I grew up in the village in Indonesia. I was raised by my grandma, and I grew up in the wealthy family, actually. So I got a better and good education at that time. So I graduated college when I was before 18 years old. And I went to the city. I got a job in a bank. I was so proud of myself because I was the youngest. I have a few companies when I was 18 years old, which is a catering business. I have a cafeteria in my school, and also I have a fashion business specific for children outfit. Political turbulence. So I got hard time at that time. I lost my job as a assistant general manager of treasury at the international bank, and I was financial analyst, and I lost this profession. So it was my my story in Indonesia back then.
And there was a lot of political upheaval that affected your position at the bank, right?
Yes. So it wasn't
easy. Can you explain that? Because not everybody knows what it's like for a country to be really turning around so drastically.
It was political turbulence where riot, everybody demanded reformation. And as a woman, a young woman that having a good profession, it is so difficult to be out there on the street traveling. Because why? They raped the girl, they killed people, and at the same time, there was a religious persecution, which is Muslim and Christian and Muslim. They were fighting, and innocent people became a victim, including myself. So I wasn't able to go out to the street because of the dangers. And combination of the businesses were burned out, and the currency was dropped, and the US currency was so strong. So it was a situation, economic, politic, all combined, and gender-based violence happening in the country.
And so how did you think about what you should do in the future?
At that time, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, at that time, I was a financial analyst, and I learned about other countries because of almost every day I deal with money market trader. And I learned that US dollar was the best currencies at that time. And I seek the opportunity to go outside Indonesia because the expectation, I will get a job, I will come back and raise my daughter. I was a single parent at that time because my husband passed away. I was excited, young, seeing a picture of many different countries, and I love Pizza Hut and I love KFC. So I said, oh, I think US dollar is, US dollar will help me to send my daughter to college. And I seek opportunity to go to many different countries, and I saw US, Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, and I said, like, US is the best because of the currency. And I can eat McDonald's Pizza Hut every day. So it was the reason. And I want to go to Liberty because of it's so amazing with the hand up and showing the Liberty. And I think it was one reason. And I love Whitney Houston. So I said, when I go to America, I will meet her. I will go to Central Park. Go to Liberty, and I will go back to Indonesia and raise my daughter after I get the money. So it was my expectation, and I got the job. I got the job, Katie. So
I know you got the job. So I want to go back before we get to that job to just reiterate. You were a financial trader, which gave you the knowledge about different currencies.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right? And so with that, you knew which currency was the strongest and decided to come to the United States.
Okay.
Did you know anything about human trafficking at that point?
Actually, no, not at all. Not at all, because of I never learned about human trafficking. I never get information about human trafficking. What I knew, I got a legitimate job. 6 months, and I will get paid and go back home. It was just a simple idea to come to the United States.
So who approached you and how? How did you find this job? Did you pay for it?
Oh, Katie, it was a long story, actually. I stood in the newspaper, actually. I saw an advertisement in one of very famous and high up a newspaper named Compass. And I saw in many different newspapers that the same advertisement, 6 month seasonal job in many different countries, and I decided to pick the United States. So I call the agent, which is the biggest travel agent in Indonesia. So I trust this agent. And they asked me to pay $3,000. Do you have passport? And I was so proud. Yes, I have passport. Do you have money to pay the agency money? Of course, I have it. I'm good with saving. So I said, yes, I do. I said, so I went through the test, smiling, walking. They said the job is in the hotel as a waitress. And I didn't really know how waitress look like in the United States. In Indonesia, we don't really have a waitress, right, at that moment. Just a simple thing. Okay, let me take the job. It will help me to get away from the violence in my country. And I will be safe at least 6 months, and I leave my daughter behind. So I paid, I got my visa with the documentation from the agency, and I got my ticket, and I'm so excited to go for 6 months.
Yeah, and it, and you actually went to the American embassy and got your papers and your passport stamp?
Yes.
You came in legally expecting a 6 month job. And when you came here, what happened? Can you describe coming, arriving, how you felt, and then what happened after that?
Oh, it was an excitement. You know, I never went to this country, a new land, my new dream, a dreamland for me at that time. I was so proud entering the immigration with my passport, with the visa. They check on me. I give the best smile that I ever had because they took a picture of me. So I smile, right? And they questioning me. I passed. I got 6 months stamp because of my visa was a seasonal job visa. And the agent actually wait in front of the gate when people pick up the passenger. He has my picture, my passport, and are you Chandra? Yes, I am. I just wave my hand to him and I said, like, yes, I am. I said, I feel so secure. I feel safe that someone recognized me and take me to Chicago to work, and I'm safe. But I realized actually more people behind me with the same destination, Johnny Wong, the agent. So I felt more safe and more secure at that time.
Right. There were several people coming to work in the United States with someone who seemed very professional.
Yes.
And they were, you actually landed in New York.
In JFK. Yeah, JFK was under construction at that time.
And so you all gathered as a group. You didn't suspect anything yet. You were just excited.
No, until he said, you will not go to your workplace. He said, your workplace. So you have to stay overnight in New York because it's late. It was 6-7 o'clock in the evening. And back, I trusted him, and he said, like, Chandra, Monica, and Soria, you go with me. And three people, another group, you go with other people. So we were divided, become two. So three of us with Johnny Wong.
And what happened then?
I was naive, so they drove me to a location in front of Sheraton Hotel. And I found out it was actually Flushing. So they stopped in the parking lot, and I was so excited. Oh, I still naive. I said, like, maybe this is the hotel that I work, you know. Right. I still didn't know. I still confused, and it is new place. And he said, you wait in the car. So three of us inside the van, and he went out. And he got money from another people. A bunch of money, and he said, hey, you guys move. So they didn't really speak English. So Johnny Wong speak Malay, and I spoke Malay. So we still connected with a different language, not Indonesian and not English. And he said, three of us should move to another vehicle with another people. And then from there, I was confused. Is this type of professional business here? But I didn't really know at that time. I didn't have an idea. And then right. This man took us in the vehicle, and he took me to another location, another exchange with the my financial exchange. So involved money and money until he took me to the diner in College Point. He said, you have to eat already late night. So we spoke with body language and some easy conversation that make me understand about what they want. So we ate, and another people came, couple, and also said someone will come to pick you up and you stay with him. I got confused. Why stay with him, stay with them, stay with him? So it keep moving until the last middle-aged man came, and he said, okay, you come with me. So he spoke Malaysian, so I understood. And he took me to the vehicle and drove about 15 minutes to the location. And I found out it was Bayside, actually, now. I learned a lot. And he took us to his house, like a town house. So he took me to the attic, the top by the roof. I didn't know how to call it at that moment. He said, this is your room. When I enter, it was a disaster kit. It wasn't a room. Looked like a warehouse, looked like a nasty place, a stinky, a smelly. It's so bad. And it's just a mess. And so many condoms used on the floor. And then some use condom on the bed and new condom on the side table. I was thinking, what kind of place is this? So I didn't know what to expect, what kind of treatment it was. And two girls, they were younger than me, 17 and 15 years old. So I was the oldest. And before I went to the bathroom, this man knocked the door and opened. And he said he wanted to see my body, my skin, and everybody's skin. If we have tattoo, we have skin problem. I said, no, you will not see my body. I didn't know. So I hold my clothes, myself tightly with my hand, wrapping to my arm to make sure that he will not rip me or whatever. And then those two girls, they were scared. I couldn't express how scared I was, but I was so brave at that time. No, no is no, I said. But I spoke in Malaysian. And then he took the gun from his pocket and pointed on my head, on my side, moved to the front, just keep moving his gun, and he pulled my hand so tight, and he locked the door from outside. So two girls were inside. So that's the situation in that place. It was scary, Katie, but I didn't know where my braveness came from. I was so tough at that time. I tried to fight, but I couldn't. He was so big, and he took me to the basement and pushed me into the vehicle, his sedan, like old. And I tried to open from inside. I opened, couldn't open. It was locked. And his gun was on my waist, and he drove with one of his hand. About 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I couldn't count the time at that time because of I was so scared and pay attention to everything. I was alert if something come up. And actually, I was calm because of he stopped the vehicle and he let me out. He let me out with his hand still on my wrist and the gun still on my back. And I said, okay, at least I wasn't in the vehicle. So we went to the housing neighborhood, and he rang the bell. A young woman opened the door uh, the the thing to look at people who come. Hey, mama-san, a new girl. He was so excited. Hey, mama-san, a new girl. I said, like, mama-san is the woman that ran the brothel. That's what I learned in Indonesia. So I was more scared at that time. I was shaking, and she opened the door, and she smiled, and he said, like, that's okay. Come inside. She gave me a nice look, a beautiful face, about 40 years old woman. And I searched the room, and I saw a big security man swinging the baseball bat in front of me. So it made me more scared. And so many people stayed in the living room. I think it was a waiting room. They were drinking alcohol. They sniffed smelled the cocaine and doing some drug thing inside. And I saw a little girl was beat up. So I scared Katie. She was like young, about 12 years old. I didn't know what happened.
That is so frightening to see that. I can't even imagine somebody's with a bat. There are people doing drugs. Had you ever seen drugs before?
No, I never seen. So I grew up with a nice, educated family, and we didn't even have alcohol in the house or using drugs. So it was something new for me to see combining drug and alcohol. I knew beer, but I didn't know wine. In my country, beer is number one alcohol. And I didn't know how they do it, but I thought it was drug because of I see in the movie. So we used to watch Western movie. That's one reason I want to come to the US. It's so nice. Nice building, beautiful people, beautiful houses, car. And actually, it's not like that. Yeah, so it was the first day on my arrival, I was sold to people that want to buy sex. So
when you were in this house where you went, and this woman, the mama-san, was welcoming you, but then you get in and you see someone with a bat and all these other people, did you know what was going on then?
I didn't know, because mama-san said, don't worry, you start working now, you start making money. That's what she said. I said, like, I didn't know to be sold. I think it wasn't what I deserve. It wasn't the promise. So the first day I was sold, and I have to be raped by people. And it was a job. No, it wasn't the job. It was rape. I was sold. And I was sold in front of me for $120 for 45 minutes. The most screaming, if I scream more, the more violence happening in that room.
So did they pick that person?
The person have to pick me. So many people pick me because I was a new.
And they were violent people?
All of them. 99% they were violent, and they didn't care. They like when we scream, we feel hurt, the more they like it. If we don't scream or we don't feel hurt, they're gonna hurt us. So either way, it was type of abuse. So I was raped in a different type of violence, whether physically, sexually, they call name, they slap, it was painful.
Obviously, at that point, you realized that what you were expecting wasn't happening.
Yes, it wasn't what they promised.
Right, you had been duped. You'd been promised one thing and got another.
Yeah, and It was unfortunate what I deserve to be working to earn $30,000 as a promise, but I was I was told that I have to pay these traffickers for $30,000 by being sold. I was being sold. One customer that bought my body will deduct $100 from that manipulation debt or debt creation. Imagine how many people. And then do they let me go? I don't think so, Katie. You know that. You've been working in this field in India, in many countries, and in the US. You saw that firsthand. They will not let me go.
Yes, we know it now, but that's in retrospect. Before, when you're in that situation, what were your thoughts? Were you thinking I'm going to run away?
Oh,
were your thoughts,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to work hard and pay off
no,
this
I,
false
I
debt?
Did, Katie. Wait. I want to escape. So when they took me to Flushing, they said, we want to buy a uniform. The uniform is lingerie store. I said, this is not uniform. Working in the hotel is not like bra and panty. So I tried to escape again. They took my passport. They took all my belongings. So how I can go? I have no money. So I tried to slide back from these people. Who, so we are surrounded by people if we walk. Surrounded by trafficker and the allies. And then I couldn't. I was so afraid. And then they took me to Connecticut, New London. I was a Girl Scout, so I tied all the seat, my pants, everything. But I jumped from the attic window, but I couldn't reach the ground, and I didn't know how is the height of the window and the ground. So I climbed back, and finally I escaped, actually. Finally, I escaped.
How?
I escaped from the small bedroom window in Brooklyn, Sunset Park, while my trafficker slept.
And can you describe that? This is an amazing story.
Because of we were nomads. What does that mean? They move us places to places. It's not one place. So brothel, hotel, like small hotel, neighborhood, escort, massage place, and everywhere. So they took me back to Johnny Wong because of the time is ended. So suppose another trafficker will take us at that moment. So I said like, no. Johnny Wong said, you will go to Boston. I said, I don't know where is Boston. I never learned Boston. So I said, oh, this must be lie. Because Johnny Wong always said, oh, I'm sorry what happened to you. It will not happen again. I'm so sorry what happened to you. It will not happen again. He always comforted me with that, and I didn't trust him now. I decided no is no. So I found, I met the girl in the brothel, and she said, Chandra, oh, they changed my name to be Candy, actually. Hi, Candy. If you paid off the debt, call this number. He will give you a job in the bank, in the hotel, or in place that you like. Because of I told people that I was working in the bank. So it was another hope. It was another hope. And I kept that number. I was afraid Johnny Wong found out that number. I put inside my bra. So I cut a little bit of my bra. I put it inside for my safety. At that night, I couldn't take it anymore. I called all the girls from Thailand, from Malaysia, from many different places, including two from Indonesia. So I told them, I want running away. My English was bad too. I couldn't speak. I couldn't communicate with English. You know, like now, I'm better now. So I found out a small window in the bathroom. And I tried to seek a screwdriver. I learned a lot of things in my life. So I tried to open, but I couldn't find screwdriver, even knife. So I was a little bit like pessimist at that time. How can I open that window, the glass window? So I found spoon. So I used the spoon and fork to unscrew it. And I got it. I was so happy that time. I climbed I climbed and I saw it was very high. And I didn't know if I could make it, but I learned when I was in Girl Scout, they taught me how we jump, how you save your, you know, your position when you jump from the height, like, so I learned that, and I called everybody. I went back to the room. Come on, come, we have to go. So I turned on the faucet, so it make a noises, water dripping. And then I climb up to that small window, and I just said, like, oh, Lord, help me. Just praying, and I jump. It was good. I was safe.
Well, it was good.
I
when
feel
you
good.
Jumped
I
out.
Didn't have any fracture. I didn't have any scratch. It was amazing. It was miracle. And the young girl, the 15-year-old girl, actually jumped on top of me. It was the pain. It was. I still remember that time when I met. When I meet this girl, we always talk about that jump. So she is in Philadelphia, actually. This girl, and. I just like it was a nice breath. The oxygen so clean, no smell, just fresh air in my life that I can experience, I can enjoy. And it was sad that many girls couldn't jump out because of the window was so small. And I ran to the corner, Katie. I ran so fast, and I went back again. I waved my hand. I told them, I will be back for you. I will be back for you. I will pick you up, I said. And long shot, we took a cab. This girl, I'm sorry, I have a little money from Indonesia. So we took a cab, take us to the hotel. Actually, it was Pennsylvania Hotel in Manhattan.
In Manhattan.
Expensive, but we met the good people. We just pay about $40 and he let us in. We couldn't sleep. I took a shower. It was beautiful to experience freedom. And I called the number in the morning. He came and he said, wow, what happened? He was so nice. And he said, finally, he groomed me. Actually, he was another trafficker. And he called Johnny Wong. And he sent us back to him. And I escaped again. And difficult to seek help. So I experienced freedom, no more with the trafficker at that time. But the girl went back.
And so the second, first of all, you get out, you call this number, somebody who's supposedly going to help you, and they're another
yes.
trafficker. And they send you back to the place you
yes.
came from. And your determination, you would not give up. So you tried
I escaped.
Again.
Yeah, I escaped.
Right? You escaped again. This story to me is unbelievable what happened to you then. Could you describe the park and...
It's difficult. I was homeless, Katie. Nobody trusts me. Even law enforcement, Consulate General of Indonesia didn't trust me. It's so difficult living in the street, in the park, begging food, digging food from the can. It wasn't easy, but I said, I have to help those girls and I have to be safe and go back to see my daughter.
So I want to say that you were homeless. You didn't have your passport. You didn't have your identification. You went to two police stations that said, we can't help you. We don't believe you. You went to a park, right? Can you explain the interaction with the person?
Yeah, so
in the park?
When I was crying, I was hungry at that time. And someone came to me and saw me cry. Are you okay? I'm hungry. And he brought me a coffee and a bun and asked. And I said, like, he believed me. He believed me.
You told him
yeah.
your story. He brought you food.
He believed me with my story, and he called FBI. He took me to local police, and the detective checked on all my documentation. He checked the airline, the embassy, all legit, all the truth and the fact. And he found the address of the brothel through my note. So I have a note, little note. And finally, the law enforcement went with me and arrest Johnny Wong and rescued many girls.
And several of the traffickers were put in jail.
I testified. Right? I testified. They changed my name at that time for my safety. My name was Cynthia Moore until I got my name back. But I was happy.
We only have a few minutes left, so I'd like you to describe what Mentari does. We have less than 5 minutes, so I want to cover what Mentari does, how you were so resilient, and what you hope others could do.
This is an interesting question. One thing that I love about you, Katie Ford and Freedom for All, you were the one person that believed on me with my work. So I help until now. We help 580 survivors now, Mentari, through many different services, housing, skill, and job placement. And we are proud that we did the prevention. We met more than 250,000 students, million maybe, through my activism. And what I can say is, through this conversation, I think everybody can do something to be a part of the solution. Use your talent, use your expertise, use your profession, support the work that we are doing, like a survivor lab organization, like Mentari, like myself, because we do the right thing. We go to the street to help people. And we are not seen by community. Yep. Maybe through this conversation, people can start learning how to be involved. Your expertise, your talent, and your time. And if you have money, donate to a nonprofit like us, Mentari, so we can continue our work to help other people. Because we cannot let this happen to other people. Just make a survivor the last.
You know, I would like to add that your vocational training, the culinary program, had a 96% success rate.
That's good.
And it provided jobs. Most of these people had come to the United States being promised a real job and had been forced into prostitution. And then they, through you, got an actual job, which is amazing.
Because of Freedom for All, actually. Because of you challenge me to do better all the time. That's the main underline what I'm doing. You're one of the person that also inspired me because of your work always challenge me. The challenge, I take the challenge. That's the point.
You really take every challenge and uplift not just yourself, but everyone around you. There is no one. You walk in a room and you light up the room. You speak on behalf of traffickers. You've become a major leader in this field so that now governments are consulting with you. I have to say, bravo, you're so amazing. And everything about you lifts people up emotionally and actually financially, economically, safety-wise for the survivors. You're amazing.
But thank you again, because of without you first believe in me, I will not flourish like how the way I'm now. It was a journey, our journey together, actually. It is our journey. You helped through my passion and compassion. We help so many people, and we will continue this fight. We will continue because of those people that affected by trafficking. They inspire me every single day. And I believe through our partnership and collaboration, I hope more people will get involved with us and more people will do something.
Us too.
And I would like to see that we can eradicate human trafficking through many work, especially prevention and support a victim and survivor. That's the most.
Thank you. Thank you, Chandra.
Thank you, Katie, for always trust in me and support and help me, because you are the best mentor that I ever have. Your challenge is really make me grow to who I am now. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.